Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. I say it to Him over and over. Lord, do anything you want with me, at any cost. Work your will in me." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. Thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about that phrase in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done." Philip Yancey has written a book called "Where is God When It Hurts?" All of us, I suppose, have asked that question. Exactly where is He when it hurts? Well, the answer, of course, is He's exactly where He is when all is calm and all is bright. He is at work in His world, answering the prayer of the church through the ages, "Thy will be done." This is entailed in God's answer. I don't know how to say it any more simply and any more pointedly. It has to hurt. In the world, you will have tribulation. God did not win us by false advertising. He told us that those who would live godly lives would suffer persecution. He told us that in the world we would have tribulation, but Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now, we don't see that fulfilled yet, do we? He's eternal, and He sees the end from the beginning, and so He can say, "I have overcome the world." But when you and I offer that prayer, "Thy will be done," we are uniting our wills with the will of God, committing ourselves to be cooperators and co-laborers with God in the accomplishment of that will, whatever that may mean. Well, here's a letter from a young mother. She's full of praise to God. She said, "Your program talked of motherhood being offered to God, surrendering your life to Him. Sometimes the sacrifice involves giving up financial gains or what you think you would have gained by two incomes. In our case, I have a godly husband who was determined and committed to my being home with our children from the birth of the first child. There were times we had under $10 and needed gas and had no milk in the house, not to mention extras like toothpaste and toilet paper. However, God met our needs. Even our home, which is now debt-free, was in jeopardy of being foreclosed on several times. If anyone ever, quote, needed, unquote, to work, it was me. But my husband was committed, and I surrendered to his leading and desire. I felt God was testing us, and it has been and still is a hard test. Did my husband and I really trust God to meet our needs? If I can't trust Him to meet my needs, am I really trusting Him at all for my salvation?" These were hard questions I found myself asking. Once I felt I was trusting the Lord fully for my needs, but yet there was not enough money to pay the electric bill. And to make a long story short, our lights were cut off. This was hard to stand. I am a nurse with a BS degree, and my husband is an insurance agent, also with a college degree. What did the Lord do? He used the situation to allow me to declare my faith to my earthly father, who died 4 months later, suddenly. The bill did get paid through a gift, and we learned again that all things work together for good. Now, while this young couple was going through the agonies of wondering where they were going to pay the bills, and when it worse came to worst, and they couldn't pay the electric bill, and the electric company was not willing to postpone their payments any longer, and the lights were actually cut off, would that be a time when you would feel like dropping to your knees and saying, "Thy will be done"? Most of us would feel more like getting pretty angry with God and saying, "Lord, why didn't you supply my needs?" And of course, the woman tells us in this that In God's time and in His way, He did supply their needs. But nobody needs electricity 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. At least not very many of us can make that claim. I've lived for years without electricity, and so does most of the world, I guess. So, even though we think we have desperate needs, when we pray, "Thy will be done," it may mean some strange answers. But let's not get upset with God, indignant and astonished, when He actually answers the prayer. Do you say, "Why this, God?" And if you ask God why this thing happened or didn't happen, I think His answer would be, "Because it fits into the pattern. Because it tends toward my purposes." What is it you're asking God about today? I think His answer would be, "It fits the pattern. It tends toward my purposes." Well, if I ask Him, "But are you talking about in me, Lord, or in the world? Your pattern in my life or in the world?" I think God would say, "Both. Because you're a part of my world. And the tiniest atom or molecule is a part of the greater organism. So the will of God, that mysterious attribute of the living Godhead, which is so far beyond my understanding, is yet given to me in a tiny portion. And the privilege of offering my prayer for its fullest accomplishment on earth, as it is in heaven, is given to me wherever I happen to live, California, Vermont, Montana, Maine, or Magnolia, Strawberry Cove, my house, my heart." Just so happens that when I was preparing this talk, I had letters in front of me from California, Vermont, Montana, and Maine. And I was trying to answer questions from each of those people that had direct bearing on this subject, "Thy will be done." And of course, it came right down to me, who happened to live in Magnolia, Massachusetts, Strawberry Cove, in my street, in my house, and in my heart. Now, how can we do the will of God? We can't, not by ourselves. Only through the strength of Christ, only in union of heart with His Spirit. Transform my desires, Lord, I pray. Make the meditations of my heart acceptable in Thy sight, my strength, how weak I am, my Redeemer, how sinful I am. Well, some would say it's much more important to be than to do. You're always talking about obedience. You're always talking about doing the will of God. You're always talking about all these sacrifices. I'd rather just be. Can't we just be Christians? Can't we just be ordinary people and let God make of us what He wants to? Well, to me, it is one of the most wonderful facts of His providence that He has so ordered the world and ordered my life that I'm given the privilege of actively willing to participate with Him. I'm not just vegetating. I'm not just a rock. A rock, of course, glorifies God, but it doesn't have to do anything. It just has to be a rock. And as far as I know, the squirrels who are gathering nuts for the winter and the clams who glorify God by being clams in the depths of the sea are doing what God wants them to do, and it's no effort at all for them. It's just what they are made to do. But for you and me, there is the willing, because we are given something that the animals and the rocks and the winds are not given, which is the will to do His will. Yes, I can be, but I am always needing to do something because I am a being. I must exercise my will. I can't sit by the still waters all the time. I must be about my Father's business. This means that there's tension, that there's duality. I had a letter from another lady who was really in a very, very difficult position. She said, "I have no husband anymore. I loved him deeply, and I still do. I still consider myself his wife, and I will carry his name to our grave. But, she said, I was so upset that I wasn't doing enough for God. I am a hard worker. I clean the house, cook, take the kids to school every day, and I get no help from my kids. Day after day, they would mess up the house, and I would fight with them for help. I felt they were depriving me of going out to witness or serve God somehow, because I never had time. There was always something to do. But what I didn't understand till I heard you speak was that I am serving God by being a mother. You see, when we pray, Thy will be done, what we might have in mind is some exalted form of spiritual service, some nice little niche where we could fit in what we think of as Christian ministry. And what God wants us to do is to accept wholeheartedly the very niche where we already are and where we have been perhaps for years. Now, obviously, that woman's children needed some more training. Maybe she was preoccupied with spiritual things to the point that she had not really taught them from the earliest age to help her with the housework. And when she says, I get no help from my kids, I want to say, why don't you? They're your children. It's your responsibility to teach them. So there's that tension. Faith and works, grace and nature, God's sovereignty and my responsibility. If we truly love the Lord, we're learning daily to make the self-surrenders by which we cooperate with His will. In this world, this vale of tears, this place of wickedness and war and poverty and sorrow and sin, God's will is to be worked through, by, and in spite of you and me. Does that phrase from the Lord's Prayer, Thy will be done, mean perhaps a little bit more to you than it ever did before? I hope so.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network. Mm-hmm.